All right.
Yeah.
It's a good word since Monday.
Just trying to kind of get my wheels back under me again. My skip tracer kind of went MIA, trying to get him figured out what happened, because there was probably 100 out of 130, 140 leads that he had done that the information I got wasn't real good. And that was the same area that was that dead spot you guys were finding in the system where it wasn't pulling owner of record. So it's kind of, and I paid him extra. I mean, he said it was going to take him longer, and I gave him more money to do it. And I got probably 100 of those that they're not getting good numbers. So some of them are just ringing continually, and then a lot of them are dead. The ones that are ringing continually, we're trying to contact, like, after hours, you know, after 5 p.m. and stuff like that. Still no luck.
Has he been able to find owner of record with success, I'm assuming?
Yeah. I mean, he was able to plug in for most of them.
What service is being used?
He had said he was using LexisNexis.
Okay.
LexisNexis, and I said, you know, from what I understand, you should have at least a 70%, you know, success rate with that information. And he said, he said, you don't know what's going on.
Is he using the name and the property address, or the name and the mailing address? Did you ask?
The same information that all the other ones are populating or pulling up. So,
well,
you know, I did
here's
not.
The thing. When you pull owner of record on a vacant property, you're going to have two addresses. So you always want to make sure this is really, really clear. And I've had we've had a couple of people come through the program, and they say, my numbers are off. And I go right to this. I mean, it's a basic thing, but if they are skip tracing off of the wrong address, you're going to get bad data.
Sure. Okay.
Because what will happen is, you know, they're looking up. I mean, you own 123 Main Street, but you live in, you know, Parker Way. And they're putting in Mike Gerais, Park 123 Main Street, and it's a vacant house.
Yeah.
And so that is, it's such a key piece. And I bring it up because it shouldn't happen. The training video tells them which one to use, but it's a really simple mistake
Don't
to use the wrong address.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
So I have hired – got an ad for Upwork, and I've got one guy that's going to start going through. I got him hired on probably half an hour ago, and then I've got some more that are sending in resumes, so I'm trying to work through those.
My experience is you're going to have to go through a couple. I have three on board right now, and I'm just trying to figure out who's getting us the best data. So,
I had one, original guy is from India.
Okay.
And I had one other applicant today, because I'm requesting that they either have TLO or LexisNexis. And one told me that in India they don't have access to TLO.
I've got other
people that are applying from there saying
say they have it.
They have it.
They could still have it. If they do, what they're probably doing is logging into a computer that's not in India and then logging into TLO. That definitely happens, so that it masks the IP address.
Yeah.
So, we were actually looking into that. Paul and I, a little while ago, we were thinking, should we buy a laptop, let it sit there, get Lexis access, and then have our VA log into the laptop, and then log in that way. We ended up, we heard from Lexis, anyways, long story short, we heard that they weren't bringing anybody on until like second quarter 2018, so didn't end up working out. But that could be what's going on.
Okay.
So they could be lying about it too. That's another option.
So. And the VA, I asked him what he was using, and he said he was using Lexis. So I'm assuming that I haven't really had much conversation with him to verify if he's flaking out. He's flaking out. I was paying him pretty generously just to try to get good information from him, and he did pretty well when it was easy to access. But this one here kind of stumped him up. So
here's
I'm
the
have
other
to
thing
go
too
through that.
You can have him shoot me a quick little video on your screen. Show me that you're logging into this service.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you could use it with this guy to say, to figure out which address he's using. Say, hey, we're not getting good data, so I need you to send me a video showing exactly the steps you're going through.
And they'll send that through Upwork, or do you have to send it just to your...
Just have them upload it to YouTube or send you the file. So they can use Jing. With Jing, they can shoot up to a free 5-minute video. There are other screen capture softwares out there, but if you have them do that, you say, hey, let's get to the bottom of what's going on here. I need to see exactly your process to see if I can... you know, figure this out, because you should have 70 to 80% good numbers with Lexus. And that way you'll also see what they're logging into. So tell them, I need you to log into the service, punch in an address, show me which lead you're working in FreedomSoft, send me a screenshot or a video of what's going on. So,
All right.
Options.
So, so that kind of put me in a bind on, you know, because that's a big chunk of leads that we've been continuing trying to get a hold of. So, you know, that put my sales guy kind of in a position where he was on hold. So he's actually been pulling in leads the last few days, and he's gotten in another 100 leads this week.
Okay.
So he's okay with that. He's like, you know, that's fine. You know, I'm also using it to give him some money, you know, throw him some funds.
Cool.
To help keep him motivated.
Yeah.
He's doing fine. He's excited. He's, you know, I don't see any issues coming forth, but I did tell him, hey, you know what, our key, we gotta be on that phone. We have to continue to make contact, make as many offers as we can. I mean, I couldn't stress that more.
Yep. Beautiful.
That's
the goal.
And I did talk to him about using the script. I went into FreedomSoft and put the script in there.
Do this, Mike.
He's been
do
using
this
it.
so you don't ever run out of leads again. This is where you use that vacant house feed in FreedomSoft.
Yeah.
So you're talking to other skip tracers anyway. Go go into that data feed, go into your market, run a search, and make sure you click the out of state owner button. There's a little radio button.
Okay.
So I was talking to Rob today. He said the highest converting leads they have in Memphis are vacant out-of-state owners.
Yeah. Okay.
So what's cool about that feature is you can click out-of-state owner and then see how many it pulls. If it pulls too many, like, you know, 3,000, and you don't want to skip trace 3,000, then go back to the search page and put in a couple sale dates and go back in time a couple years. Go like January 1, 2013 to December 31st, 2016, something like that. And what that means is that the property was sold in that time frame and the Postal Service is still saying it's vacant.
Okay.
So if you don't go back in time, some of the list is going to be, you know, Investor X just bought this house. It's still vacant, but they're waiting to fix it up.
Yeah.
And the Postal Service still says it's vacant. So there's going to be some of that in there. But that way you get 300 to 500 of those skip traced. And what it can do is buy you a little bit of time. So you're having a bird dog issue or they get sick or whatever the case, salesperson's running out of leads. You say, nope, we're not out. Let me float you some of these. Bam, fire those over, get the bird dogs cranked up again, get some more field leads in. And it makes for a seamless little transition. So use it that way.
Okay. All right. I am looking at Richmond. You know, we talked about Richmond because it's kind of like Denver to Fort Collins. It's a reasonable distance. Talking to my sales guy who was a liquor salesman in that area for many years, he didn't think that there's really much chance that there's going to be investors in both markets. He says the people, that area is so split up with the rivers and bays and stuff like that. He says there's people that won't even cross over the bridge into the next area. So I've done some research up there. I'm going to go ahead and start plugging some bird dogs in up there anyway and just...
Yeah, well, I was going to say, too, what do the buyers say? That's, I get it.
Buyers,
you've got an opinion on it, and you may be right. Ask
none of the buyers that I've talked to are working anywhere else than the area we're in.
So they stay home.
So it seems to be that's the case. But I did have a weird thing happen when I was researching Richmond. So when I went into ListSource to generate my list, I went through, did the whole deal, put everything in, did the MSA around the area, which is like 1.2 million, pulled the data, bought the list. When I mapped it, it didn't pull any stuff out of the actual town of Richmond, the city of Richmond. It was everything on the outskirts. So I was like, whoa, and I didn't know that because you can't tell.
Yeah, you're right.
When you're looking at the list. So I did go back into it.
Did you call ListSource?
I didn't, but I moved the date back. I moved the date back. I did it 3 months. Then I moved it back 6 months, and it still wasn't showing anything. I moved it back a year, and then it pulled a bunch of data into it. But when I went on to Zillow and looked for recent activity, there's plenty of activity going on.
Yeah. So there's a – we found this in Pittsburgh, too. There's a delay – either between when the properties get recorded, so either the county there is slow at getting them recorded, or the data providers like ListSource, they're slow to get the data from whatever the process. So what we found in Pittsburgh is same thing. If you go back last 90 days, absentee owner, nothing. You go back 6 months, nothing. I mean, like pulling nine transactions.
Yeah.
Go back to the previous 12 months, couple thousand.
Yeah.
So then through, I can't remember, there was a student that went through about a year ago, and he had a family member or somebody that worked for the county, and they said, oh, no, we're all over the recording process. So what we assumed was there's a delay from when everything gets recorded and when ListSource can actually get their hands on the information.
Okay.
So if that's the case, you did the exact right thing. Go back to the previous year and assume that 2017 was similar to 2016.
Yeah.
Because that's just all you have. And if you want to go back to ListSource, they're pretty good about some of that stuff, maybe giving you a credit or just say, hey, this is the date I was looking for. You know, to my knowledge, I set this up right, but I need to go further back in time because there's nothing recorded. So can you guys give me a credit for that first list and for the, you know, our experience has been that they're pretty good about helping you out there.
Okay.
So,
other than that, I just, trying to stay on top of it, trying to get a system for communicating inside of FreedomSoft with the sales guy. I know in the workflow, you can access it on the main dashboard. But when you're in the leads themselves, there's no place to convert or change. I couldn't find a place to change the lead status within.
Yeah, there's a status dropdown. Unless you or somebody else in your account deleted it, there is a status dropdown.
Is it? Maybe it's in the lower area. Maybe that's why I'm not seeing it.
It could have been moved around your screen somehow.
Yeah, okay.
But it's one of the default fields.
Yep. Okay, I see it. I wasn't looking for it in the right spot. I was thinking it was
on that front
dashboard.
You want that up near the top of the page. So if you go to your custom fields page, you can drag it back up to the top where it should be. Yep.
Yeah, I'm getting pretty good at manipulating the pages, so I'll do that. Okay.
Good stuff.
So, I just once we get things going back in the right direction, I'll get my sales guy.
VA on board. I want your sales guy on the phone because him generating leads is great to throw him some money, but you want your salesperson on the phone. So I want you to find a second VA, pull some of those free vacant leads out of state owner and get those on standby so that your salesperson from here on out never has to go drive for vacants.
Yeah.
Highest and best use of time.
No, for sure. And when they're entering them in and the leads are coming into the campaigns, are you having the same VA that Skip Tracing take and pull that information out of that notes and using it to populate the fields, or how are you doing? How you guys normally do that?
Yeah, so the Bird Dog sends the lead in. The address comes into the notes section.
Yeah.
The VA goes to notes, copies the address, pastes it up to the top top of the screen. So we actually have a property address up there.
Yeah.
Save the address, then click find the owner. That displays the owner of record. Then run the skip trace, copy and paste the numbers, change the status to number one, skip trace complete, call seller, and save it. Move on to the next one.
Okay,
they should be doing all that.
Okay. And they're doing all that for you guys for 40 cents a lead?
Yeah, that's the per lead. Yep.
Okay.
That's the per lead price. You got it.
Okay. All right. So that sounds good. So, yeah, other than that, I'm just, man, I'm still charged up, pumped up. I mean, I have no no apprehensions. It's just, getting through the tax season and stuff now. I kind of got some stuff behind me, and I can focus.
Okay. There's always something new to get in the way. Always.
Yeah.
So that's just called being in business and life. So we got to figure it out. But the only thing looking back, Mike, I would say is have some other leads teed up so that when the little hiccup came through, your salesperson is still on the phone. They're just calling the USPS vacants instead of driving. But
solve
that right now.
Like some research on that. So particularly today, I have one zip code in the area that had 549 vacant leads in that zip code.
Okay.
My sales guy hit that zip code today and got through the vast majority of it and pulled about 65, 70 out of that one zip code. I was figuring 20, 25% might be a closer number, but that what ended up happening is there's a ton of Section 8 apartments in that area. So that really, I think, made that number skew way out of proportion.
So he just stayed away from those, I'm guessing?
He's only doing single family. If he sees a duplex or something like that.
When you're talking to your buyers, you got to be asking, do you buy Section 8 properties?
Yeah.
If there is it seems like either people will say absolutely not or absolutely. Show me everything Section 8 you have. It's like you don't find it too often where people say, yeah, I own one or two. It's like some people stay away and other people, that's all they want are Section 8 rentals. So,
and I think that area in particular is going to be a buy and hold Section 8 area just because it's a pretty rough part of town.
I'm telling you, sometimes selling turnkey rentals with Section 8, I mean, there's a market just for that where investors say, that's all I want. You have turnkey Section 8 rentals, fired up. Let's rock and roll.
So
again, just talk to more buyers and see what the market wants. Bring them that.
Yeah. I've talked to another guy who contacted me about the bird dog job, and he's actually a contractor that works for some property management and investors, where he's actually getting them ready for turnkey or for rentals.
Yeah, what a great resource that is.
And he is actually working with banks also doing maintenance on bank-owned properties.
Oh, man.
So
I could have a couple wins for you.
Exactly. So I definitely trying to, get a relationship built with him. And and he definitely, I said, I'd like to talk to your investor. Maybe there's definitely some things there we probably could get some great deals for him. And as well, he's kind of working with his investor, but he says there's quite a few of them that the investor isn't interested in. So
nice.
So that one's on three tiers he should be able to help out. And I told him, there's also an opportunity for him passing his name in the hat as being able to do some more work for other investors that are looking for the same type of work. And he's like, oh, yeah, I got a 4-man crew. I'll double it right now if I have to. So
that's it. I mean, now you can start, as you're talking to buyers, hey, do you do your own fix-up or do you need a referral to a GC in the area? Ask them. If they're dialed on it, great. Just bring them the deal. If they're not, say, hey, I can cover that as well. So if you want to buy but don't care to handle any of the construction, I can get a couple names your way, right? And then you can even, you've been talking about it, you can even get paid for construction oversight. Just say, I'll help coordinate some of this. That's one of the other services that you offer. So,
Sure thing.
Just take it off their plate. So
a lot of
different options. This is why, right? This is why you talk to buyers, because this network starts to grow. And then we can, right, you can solve more problems, and that's all business is. You get paid when you solve a problem. That's it. So as entrepreneurs, we're looking for problems. We're looking to create problems, and then we help find solutions. And when we put those two together, we get paid. Right? And so as that network grows, it just allows you more creativity, different ways to solve problems, and, you know, allows you to solve bigger problems. That's the whole point of it. It just, you just start pulling in, you know, in the next couple months, you'll know 5 or 6 contractors that you can go to, and then you'll know 10, and then you just have this network that you can plug into and get things done. So
cool.
Good stuff, Mike. Get another skip tracer on, figure out what's going on with your one. You got two choices, right? You'll make the right decision. Either cut ties or say, hey, shoot me a video. Let's get to the bottom of this. You know, I feel like you can do a good job. Let's figure this out. So good stuff.
Yep, sounds like a plan.
Who else? I know I heard a couple more dings. People chime
in. Hey, what's up, Mike? It's Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Man, I'm having a time, man, keeping a reliable phone salesperson. It's like, man, it's like shooting in the dark, man. You get people that like so excited to get on, and you know they think they've done commission jobs. That's what they do. They've been doing it for years.
Yep.
Then it's like I put so many leads in front of them. I might just throw 60 leads out there just to say get started with those. And this last person I hired, she's been with me all week since Friday we got started, and she's only made like 3 calls. So I'm like, to the point now, I'm not going to follow up with you and do all that and chase you down. So I just cut off her access, and then, if she decides to go in there and try to get in, she's just going to see that she's blocked, and maybe she'll reach out then. But I'm kind of fed up with that. But I know it's a game, so I know I just got to keep looking.
You got to stay with it. I had a gal do the same thing, brought her on 3 days later. She made 2 phone calls. Done.
Yeah, I'm like, man, what is going on with these, man? But,
yep.
I mean, it is what it is. I understand it now. I really got it down packed, how all the businesses run and how everything goes.
Cool.
So I'm really excited about, where I'm going and how the business is building up. It's just a matter of getting the right pieces in place and, going from there. So,
personnel,
yeah, but,
right? This is nothing new, and it's not going to change. Personnel is going to be your biggest challenge.
Yeah,
you're gonna know how to generate leads, how to make an offer, how to evaluate a house. That's easy stuff, right? We can teach that quick.
Yeah.
The challenge in building a business, and here's your other option: you go do it all.
Yeah, that's what has gotten to the point now. I'm like, I'm
that's
just
an option on the table.
Yeah.
If you're okay with it, and here's the thing: some of you may say, "Hey, I'm gonna do it all. I'm gonna bust my tail. I'm gonna go on a 5-year run." And sign off. And if that, I'm not saying it's wrong. If that's the way you have it drawn up, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
If you want to build a business, and we're going to keep talking about that, there is going to be this personnel. It is what it is. And I'll tell you, let me have you hang on to this, because I'll tell you what Brad and Rob, I'll tell you their philosophy on it. And I agree with it. And I think it's important to talk about, because you're going to have people come and go. You're going to have people burn through leads, not show up, do all kinds of stuff. The way they see it is they exist as business owners to serve the people in the company. Servant leadership. What do you need? How can I help? How can I help you succeed? Whether they get burned or not, whether somebody shows up or doesn't do what they're going to say, right? Like Chris, I was talking last week, the original salesperson that they hired for Memphis is no longer with the company.
Mm-hmm.
And they just say, hey, man, we wish you the best of luck. No hard feelings, right? He just decided to move on, and they're perfectly okay with it. And so I bring that up because people can be extremely frustrating, extremely. Yeah. And so it's important that as business owners – that if we can hang on to the mindset, and I battle with it too, but I exist to serve you, even though it's my company, my role is to serve you. If we can hang on to that or just get reminded of it from time to time, it'll help some of that personnel stuff go a little smoother. It's not going to be easy. You'll go through really good seasons where you, right, there's no turnover and that kind of thing, but it's always going to be a challenge. So stay the course.
Yeah.
You get really good at hiring people. You know, just we get more efficient at getting through the process, getting people up and running and that kind of thing. But, yeah, the personnel challenge is here to stay for sure.
Yeah, and I expect that. I mean, I expect that. And I'm not, you know, by any means getting discouraged by it or anything. It's just I know it's a – you know, it's just going to be an ongoing battle. And even like you said, even when I do get somebody that's good, you know, it's a good chance that it's not going to last. So I try to keep that in the back of my mind. But, it's helping me, though.
I tell you what, you treat everybody the same, and you just say, wait and see. And whether they knock it out of the park or they make two calls, you just kind of say, well, isn't that interesting? Fine, you know, and move on. Because you won't be able to predict. I mean, sometimes you'll just have a sleeper.
Yeah.
And they'll come out of nowhere. Right. And you'll just say, this person really doesn't have a chance, but they're telling me they're hungry, so I'll give them some leads. You just never know. Just never know.
Right.
You know what? One of the things that, you know, look for emerging talent. You know, you're going to talk to people. When you post an ad for a salesperson, you're going to talk to somebody that's got, you know, 40 years experience on the phone. And they may be great. I'm not saying to not give them a shot, but look for somebody that maybe wasn't really interested in sales, but said, yeah, I'll snoop around there anyway and see if something looks interesting. And they call up and they say, you know, honestly, I don't have much sales experience, but I just have an interest in real estate. You know, your ad caught my eye. Sometimes those people can shine. You just never know.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, the whole process is teaching me just to, you know, like you said, you can't predict it, but it's, you know, giving me a basis to ask, you know, better questions and, you know, think about things a little bit different. So, you know, while it's a little frustrating, I am, you know, getting a lot of out of the process. And I can see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. Like you said, it's just a matter of getting those pieces in place. So, so everything is going, you know, good on that forefront. I'm going to repost the ad tonight and, you know, see if I get some more hits just so it. Because I know it's usually with those sales apps, there's so many of them that yours tend to get bumped down pretty quick. So
it does. You gotta if you're actively looking, you probably want to renew that every 24 to 48 hours.
I noticed that.
Back to the front.
I definitely noticed that. So I'm gonna keep on going with that. You know, I've been constantly trying to network and talk to new buyers. I got plenty of leads ready to go, and I'm working some follow-up leads. I actually got a deal closing Monday on a property. I'll make a quick $4,500 on it.
Cool. Is it a little fix and flip, a little buy and hold?
It's just a little buy and hold, little bit under 900 square feet, two bedroom, one bath.
What does it rent for?
Yeah. Rents for about $650. Needs about $12,000 in work. I'm selling it for $12,500. I got it under contract for $8,000.
Okay, so $12,500, and then needs about $12,000, so $24,500, and then so call it $26,000. Somebody's all in with some closing costs.
Yeah,
and it rents for $650.
Yeah, it's a great little rental property.
650 times 70%, 455 times 12, 5460 net annual rents divided by 26,000. You are selling a 21 cap rental, my friend.
It's a really good deal. And I was going to try to go for a little bit more and, you know, spread it out because I had it out there for a while at around 17. But I was getting, you know, it's one that's in my own backyard. And it's right around the corner from me. So I kind of know that neighborhood and kind of know what guys are willing to pay for it. So that's what kind of
pushed
that price.
that's a 20%, a 20 cap is a 5-year return of cash, which is super aggressive.
That's a great deal.
You're at 21. So that is recovering all your capital in less than 5 years.
Yeah. That's a great little run.
Tell you what, here's where you want some non-local buyers who would take that deal at 12 instead of 20.
Yeah, and that's why I've been spending a lot of time talking to new buyers.
That's exactly it. You got to find your 10 to 12 cap buyer, because you would have just made a whole lot more money on this deal. Let's not even run the numbers, because we don't want to get sick. I mean, you're still going to cash a check.
Yeah, I ran the numbers. I knew the potential of it, but I don't have. Ow. I have a couple of out of state guys. But my last guy, he probably just bought about three of them for me in the past month, and he said he was trying to get those together, so he wasn't looking to jump on this one. And then my other out of state buyer, it was a little bit out of his criteria, so he wasn't willing to budge off that criteria.
What is his criteria? I'm curious.
He likes homes that he likes them 3-1s or up, a little bit over 1,000 square feet. And
but
I'm, that's the same thing I'm saying. But look at the return. The return is, I mean, it's crazy.
Oh.
It's crazy.
I don't get it, man.
That's the type of logic I try to – I mean, I talk to them that way, and I try to put it in them, but they're like, no, I'm sticking to the criteria. I'm like, okay, man.
It's not like it's
in a war zone or anything. It's like in a decent neighborhood. It's like all like – mostly like older couples that stay out in the neighborhood, stuff like that. So it's like
– oh, man.
Man.
That's a deal moving forward that when you control it, you just say, there's not a chance this is getting to my list.
Yeah.
Because here's what you could do. I mean, this is why we all want to be wholesaler and generate the lead, because then you control it. So
get the cherry pick.
When the time is right, you're going to say, hey, you know, my company A is going to assign it to my company B, so I'm still going to put, you know, 5-6 grand in my pocket Monday, but then I'm just gonna pay cash for the fix up, and then there's no markup on that. I mean, or there's a little, and then you still have instant cash flow. Your capital investment's paid off in under 5 years, and that sucker's just yours. I mean, those are little key numbers, right?
I was super tempted to keep it, but it just wasn't the right time for me. But man,
no,
actually,
there's nothing wrong with turning the cash.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it. Because you'll find more.
Right. And that's what I was just about to say, man. In my little market here, man, I find a lot of great little deals like that, man. I find a lot of great little deals. It's pretty common for me to find something where you could be, you know, maybe like 30-35 grand all in and maybe rent for, you know, 900, 950.
Yep.
That's pretty common.
Those are great little, you know, the world says for retirement, get your little 401k and let somebody else control it. And
I can do that,
Downsize, cost of living, whatever, and hope they don't screw something up and lose all your money for you. And the better way is exactly the business we're in. Wholesale to generate cash, and then go pay cash for turnkey rentals and just build that up over time.
Yep.
And have an income-producing asset.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because, you know, I still work full-time, and I was actually talking to one of my colleagues was talking to me. He was real excited. He's like, yeah, man, I'm putting, you know, 18% of my check in my 401k, man. It says, you know, based on this calculation, when I retire, I have $2 million. And I'm just looking at him, shaking my head like, man, like, you have no idea, dude.
Here's what, I mean, to self-direct some of that, that's where with a little education, this is how you turn non-buyers into buyers. A little education and say, hey, man, here's what you do with that. Here's what I know how to find. Good deals. I've got a contract that will fix them up for you. I'll sell you the turnkey. Peel off a chunk of that. Put it over into a self-directed account.
Mm-hmm.
Start buying real estate. And let's, you know, offset the piece that somebody else is going to control of your retirement to a piece that you control.
Right.
With a house that's fixed up. That's the point of the renovation. So
yep.
Not everybody will buy it, but you'll convert some people over that says, yeah, that's a better option.
Yeah,
I mean, I had two really, really good friends. They were both a married couple, and they were both United flight attendants. And Craig died years ago, liver cancer, but Shelly's still alive. They took a beating, and they just said, fill the 401k, fill the 401k, fill the 401k. And then
yeah.
United went through a series of really poor CEOs, and all of a sudden they had no control over it. That thing went to, you know, half of what it was.
Man, that's
crazy.
They had
zero control and zero say in the matter. And they just took
crazy.
Half of it to bail out the company. Yeah. So, man, one or two stories like that, and you realize how vulnerable that money really is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
anyway,
you're right.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, man, what are your,
yeah.
I know you were just talking about the whole GC and thing and, you know, overseeing mm-hmm. the projects for some of your out-of-state
mm-hmm.
buyers. How do you structure that? Do you usually just take a percentage of the renovation cost?
Flat, it can be, or flat fee.
Okay.
Yeah, you could even have a sliding scale that you could prep if somebody asks you.
Okay.
Renovations up to 10 grand, 1,800 bucks. Those are going to be, I mean, those are going to be 2 to 3 week renos.
Right.
Maybe 15. You know, $10,001 to 15,000, 25, 2 grand, 2,500 bucks. And then you don't want to, I'm telling you, don't get into $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 rehabs. I just wouldn't, touch it. I'd cap it at probably 25.
Yeah.
But yeah, just have a little sliding scale. And that way, if somebody asks you, you're not making it up. You just say,
right.
Oh, yeah, great question. Here's how I do it. It's just based on the budget, project budget.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And what do you usually do to, you know, put that crew together? Are you just looking for a GC that can handle that, and then you're just overseeing the GC?
Yeah, you've got to have a couple contractors in place. You're going to want to have some lien waivers ready to go, right? You want to have a little bit of paperwork in place, but not a ton, because you're going to introduce the homeowner and the contractor. So look
mm-hmm.
for a good referral to that GC. And then, yeah, you just, you know, you get the weekly updates from the GC and pass them on to the homeowner. You know, there can be some challenges in construction, so you may have to make some decisions. But at the end of the day, you're really just there to keep an eye on things, you know, make sure timelines are getting hit, whatever, you know, get a couple weekly updates out of the contractor, because it's not your money. You know, you can relay payments, or when a payment is needed, don't have the money pass through you.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, you can go to the, you can hear from the GC, hey, you know, on Friday, here's what we need paid. These three items are done. You can say, that's great. I need you to shoot a video. You know, either you're there and you go over and shoot the video real quick, or update some photos, or get those from the field showing that, you know, signatures have been received, work is completed, the kitchen's in, whatever, and then relay that back to the homeowner. So,
okay.
But yeah,
okay.
If you're thinking about doing it, start with a couple easy ones.
Yeah, yeah, that was kind of the point. Yeah, I'm still kind of pondering it, but, yeah, that was what I was going to do with some of the smaller stuff. I just kind of been working on – I know a couple of guys at rehab that, you know, they just do strictly fix and flip. So
yep.
I'll just probably ask one of those guys for a referral for us, like a GC.
Yep.
Because I don't really want to have to worry about, you know, managing a whole crew or something like that. I'm not really trying to get into that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. And here's the thing about it. If it's not something you want to take on, don't. Just
right.
Wholesale the deals and move on. I'm just saying, if you feel like it, or maybe you have a little background in there, or you would like to learn about it, that kind of thing, it's another option that's on the table. But. Yeah, if there's ever something you come across like that and you're like, man, that's just not up my alley, that's your answer. Don't do it. Don't take it on. You know, some people want to be property managers. Other people would rather have their wisdom teeth pulled without Novocaine or anesthetic, right? Just depends on who you ask. Like, Brad, this is kind of funny about Brad and Rob. Brad loves property management. He views his tenants the same way he views employees. Like, I'm here to serve, right? Your tenants are your greatest asset. He loves it. Rob hates hates capital H property management. Hates it.
Yeah.
So you take two successful investors, two different, you know, approaches to property management, both work. Rob just said, I'm never doing it. So what they're doing now is through the franchise in Memphis, they're building some master lease stuff where they buy the house, renovate it, sell it turnkey, then they rent it back from the buyer, and then sublease it for cash flow. And Rob's like, yeah, you can do it, but he's like, I'm not touching it. So that's how they do it in the partnership. Brad just runs that whole component. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah, they master lease it. Anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm going to just keep hitting the pavement. I got a couple appointments this weekend to go on, so
nice.
You know, I'm gonna put some eyes on some properties and make some offers. So it's kind of where I'm at. I'm feeling good about everything. I only got a couple more weeks of you know these calls, so you know I'm feeling
really
good.
Yeah, let's make it happen. Good. I'm glad you have a foundation.
Yeah, I feel really good.
Stay on it. I want you to be comfortable with all the components. So get every call from here on out. You know, let's make sure the framework's in there for the next 10 years or however long you want to do this.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely planning on doing this for a long time.
Appreciate the feedback. Yeah, good. It's a fun business.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Super fun.
Cool. Who else?
This is Larry Potts. I'm on.
Larry, what's going on?
Nothing much. I've been quiet for the last couple calls. My wife told me to shut up. So I'm just listening this time.
Hey,
but
whatever you want to do, shut up, chime in. It's all good.
Okay, just like I'm hearing the others talk about, you know, personnel. You know, we finally got our bird dogs, and they're just driving us crazy because we're generating feed. The problem is, all my acquisition people are flaking.
Yep.
But I sit down and learn the script, learn the other stuff. And started making calls yesterday, and actually today, in under an hour, I got three really good things going on. I actually found a church that's got 30-something lots in Tampa, and they're hoping to build a church on it. But if they don't, they got to get rid of it.
Man, I'm telling you, I never expected this, but churches own real estate. I had no idea that was even a thing.
Well, I left it with them today. You know, not to say that you're not going to raise the money to build your big church out of your, you know, your people, even though it's trying to be a mega church. I said, there's lots of people that donate property, and ask them, I said, of these people that donate property, it may not be around where you want. I said, why don't you announce in church or put it in your bulletin, if anybody's thinking about donating property to the church, let you know, because it can be turned into cash quick. So hopefully they'll be marketing.
I love it.
Yeah, and the other one,
I'm blown away how many times we come across a church that owns real estate, single family homes.
The other is I'll share with people. I made phone calls, and you know nobody ever returned your calls. You know, it's just one of those things. But I finished mine today. I asked them for the name. I asked them, do they own property at that? And I said, I'm really calling because I've got some money for them. They'll call me back. Guess what I'm getting? I'm getting callbacks.
I love it.
Yeah, you know, I had to think about it. I do have money for them. I'm not lying. I got money if I can buy the property.
I'm trying to think if the word potentially needs to be in there, just since it's recorded. I potentially have some money for you.
Okay, I'll add a little qualifier on that, but say it slowly.
I'm not an attorney, but for that to be recorded, I would say throw in maybe a little bit softer wording, but. Cool.
Okay. Yeah, other things like that. I sat down today and the other day because I was very concerned. My first day, I didn't get crap. And I was going, you know, trying to look for statistics that maybe you can help us with. You know, if you have a VA and he makes 100 phone calls, what's the likelihood of a deal in those? You know, I'm a data person.
Yeah.
I'm not a VA. I mean an acquisition person.
Yeah, I mean, some of that is based on the skill. Obviously,
right.
But if you get, here's what I can tell you. If you have 100 leads and you ought to be able to get a hold of, a decent amount of those, right? If your skip tracer is using Lexus, TLO, something mm-hmm. like that, not everybody's going to call you back. But out of, you know, let's call it out of 10 conversations, you got to be making an offer on at least half of those.
Okay, but let's back up, please. When you make the 100, what's the, you know, and the skill, let's say if somebody's relatively skilled,
yeah.
how many will call back, even if it's leaving messages or reaching?
Well, let's just go down to the result, because there are a lot of different stats along here, and I can't rip them all off the top of my head, but
okay.
A deal to 2 per 100 on vacants, working them, that doesn't always happen right up front. Some of the deals are going to come later on when they're not motivated now. But if we can turn 1 to 2 deals per 100 leads, we're being really effective.
Okay. That was the numbers I was looking for, because one of the ones I got today, the guy answered the phone, was nervous about, you know, who I was. And finally, I asked him, what's he going to do with the property? And he said him and his wife were talking yesterday. They were tired of paying taxes on it. Please call him back next week. So, you know,
isn't that crazy?
I know the numbers game, and what I've got to do to feel confident when I hire, an acquisition person, and I'm changing my profile of who my acquisition, you know, what is going to be a successful acquisition person. You know, I'm just kind of seeing who does it, because I've been sitting there doing the same thing myself, and I'm going, okay, what other person would love to be doing this, you know? And so, you know. Anyway, that was my comment. Other part of it was, you know, my neck hurts today because I was trying to use the headset, and Janie had hooked up to get us a phone number to dial through, and I never got it to work. So I ended up with my phone in the hand, and, of course, she said I should have plugged the headset into my phone, but that's another story. Let me pass it to you.
If you're going to be hitting the phone, you got to have a headset.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Now, he said he was using the headset in the computer. But when he tried to call somebody, when he hit the green, you know, phone thing, it wasn't going through.
Yeah, there's got to be a setting. So this is a question that comes into FreedomSoft every 6 months probably. Hey, they just come in and say, hey, your phone system doesn't work. I can't dial out. And then our support center is trained now to say, what headset are you using? Because it works. So there's got to be a setting on your device. And I just plug in my little, my headphones that came with my iPhone. It's just the little, called? An RCA jack. And that's as basic as it gets, but it always works.
Okay.
So I don't know. What we've done is typically send people to the headset manufacturer, because there's got to be a setting somewhere, to get them to connect. But, yeah, it'll be headset-related somehow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is one that we've had for a little while, and I don't know that we've ever tried using it. Yeah. I mean, it works.
Yeah, that's a hardware.
But it's a phone, but we've not tried talking on it through any other program through the computer. So, yeah.
Right.
Okay. I just didn't know if there was something else I was supposed to do once I got a phone number set up.
It's going to be some kind of setting. If you plug that headset in, and then I don't know if you're on Mac or PC, but go to the control panel, you ought to be able to pull up that piece of device, that hardware. There should be some settings in there. See if something stands out to you.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I'll play with it some more.
So, Larry, how many? You have 3, and these 3 are expecting an offer from you, or did you make the offer already?
Well, I'll probably make an offer Tuesday or Wednesday next week. I'll let him stew a little bit because, you know, he wanted that. Another one through the church, when I say there's an offer, there's no offer, but she's out bird dogging for me. You know, I can just tell it in her voice because, you know, she said they're just tired of having fundraising, trying to raise money to build this big church. So if she announces in church in a bulletin, she'll be the best marketing for that group. And then I talked to her, but her babies were screaming, and she apologized. But she had it listed with a realtor, but she said they really need to get rid of it. So, you know, I don't like realtors, but it's all about the offer.
It is. It absolutely is, yeah. I'll tell you guys something. Brad and Rob on their team in Memphis, they have a person in acquisitions, and their job is to make five offers a day, at least five offers a day to listed properties.
Okay.
So
yeah, I saw that in the software. I thought
that's
just
a portion. That's a portion of what they do.
Yeah.
But, you know, and they've bought multiple deals that were online. So they're just, you know, they're running the same math as they do if they're talking to a seller. Acquisitions person puts the numbers together, says for this address, we can pay this, put the offer together, and fire it over to the listing agent. So
well, that's, I was thinking the same thing. But also back when we started this in October, when we had a house under contract, we were going to get our commission wholesale on
yep.
it.
Yep.
Well, they closed. We got some money. I'm a happy camper. They took the house, and then instead of updating it, they put it with what I said was going to be the profit if they did update it, you know, the 30% margin.
Yeah.
They put it on the market, marked up that, and it's going to let it, you know, stew for 3 months to see if anybody buys it so they don't have any more money put into it. If not, then they'll
wow.
enter habit, which,
yeah.
which I think is a smart move. You know, if they got time to sit on it and, you know, the numbers
yeah.
work.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have money borrowed and, you know, there's no interest clock ticking, you know, how are you going to tell somebody how to spend their money?
So, oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, crazy.
Because it is a friend that's dealing,
yeah.
doing the deal, and a semi-friend, the one that owns the company, and I say that
yeah.
tongue-in-cheek, you know?
Yeah, interesting. Huh.
Oh, that's where we're at. We're excited. We're
cool.
doing it. You know, the part of the thing yeah. is to get acquisition people dialing, because I know if I can sit down and dial eight numbers and get three pretty hot leads, anybody ought to be able to do it.
And you know what? I'm glad you did it, because now the confidence when you're explaining what's going on and here's what's going to happen. And, oh, by the way, I jumped in last week, called eight people, and here's what happened. You know.
That's why I did it. It was everything I did.
Talked about it before, but now there's data in your mind backing it up. So,
yeah.
Good stuff. Yep. Cool.
Good enough.
Nope.
I just want to put that yep. in. Don't want to talk too much. Everybody else go in there.
You're fine. I like hearing the updates and what's going on. So, again, you guys, it's not. I mean, you have leads. Find a dispositions person, but the business needs to make offers. So I don't care how it gets done, but when those updates come in tomorrow, that is the goal, right? Because I've been watching them. We've got some zeros on number of offers made. That number
yeah.
has to change. That's the number that changes everything. So,
yeah.
And for as long as you two are investors, that's the number you got to be tracking, right? Let's keep
right.
it simple.
That's it.
How many leads did we generate this week? How many offers did we make this week? How many new
yeah.
buyers did we talk to this week? If you do nothing else but track those three, you'll know either A, why your business is struggling, or B, why you're killing it. Those two numbers will tell the whole story.
Well,
all
that's it. You know, I know it's because we're not making offers. We got leads. We got other things in place. We got that.
That's the key. That's the key.
And we actually last week, you know, took a week off, went to Nashville, partied. Unbelievable. I'm too old to party as hard as my youngest son, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
But I looked at the market. We rode around a lot of places, and there
yeah.
the action there. There's things going on in Nashville, and I talked to a local.
Nashville's rocking.
That said, 10 years ago, it was a slime bag. The mayor come in there, and 5 years ago, turned it around, and now it is really hot. You know,
it's
as far as the feel for business. And people coming to the area. So
yeah.
whoever's working in Nashville, I'm kind of jealous. I want to work two markets, but I'll work one to start with.
I don't know if anybody's chosen it because it's so competitive. The P ratio is super low, super low.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like Denver. If you can get a deal, you can definitely move it. Challenge is getting the deal. But this method works. And that's what's fun about this is you say, hey, Nashville's killer. Look at this. I'll go drum up some leads there. Knock yourself out. You know how to do it.
We went through, got information, you know, just recommendations from locals of where to
yeah.
go for the party and where to go in, you know, these little neighborhoods. One was Germantown, and we looked
yeah.
around through the neighborhood, and absolutely, you know, it's below downtown. You're looking up the hill, but you can
yeah.
just see the thing change, and this was once a rich neighborhood. You can
yeah.
tell by the houses, but
yeah.
they've kind of decayed and changed, and, you know, my feeling is I want to go on every lot there and put a sign on there, I'll buy your house. Because
yeah,
I know those are to knock it to the bones and do it. So anyway, that was just my observation. I'm going to try to do Tampa, make a few bucks before I decide to get wild.
That's a cool little spot. That is.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine moved there a couple of years ago, and I've talked to him on multiple occasions, and that place is jumping for sure.
Yeah.
Obviously the hub of country music, but they've got good sports teams, fun of lifestyle, and like you said, you know, the downtown place is just, it's like jumping 7 nights a week. Always something to go do.
Yeah, I'll share this with you. We met in a bar. Yeah, imagine me in a bar, but that's a different story. I always say that. We're in a bar, and there was a guy that partying, and they had an Ohio State. My wife's from Ohio State, so she had to make a conversation with him. But this guy was raised 20 miles from Nashville, and he was talking about, he's the one that said 10 years ago and 5 years ago. And the bar he was in, he said, 5 or 6 years ago, an accountant bought it that didn't have an idea about buying a bar. And then leased another one across the street, didn't know anything about it. Well, right now, this bar is making more money than they can imagine. And the one across the street, he leased it, subleased it for $1 million last year.
That's right. That's a master lease. That's what I was just explaining to Ryan that Brad and Rob do. It happens. It's more common in commercial, but you can absolutely do it with residential. But that, yeah, that's how it works.
So this cabinet has nothing about cars, but he crunched the numbers and he's out leasing lots of properties farther out, knowing that the growth is going because the vibe of the city is very good.
So you gotta meet that bar owner and bring some money down to Tampa and say, hey, you've got to jump in place here. Let me show you where to park some of this.
Hadn't thought about it. Now I've got to figure out, who the guy was.
All this cash coming in. You don't want too much cash on hand. The IRS will sniff you out.
Oh, yeah. They'll do something with it.
Come find you.
Okay. I'll let you go. Thank you.
Good stuff, Larry. Who else? Excuse me.
Mike, while we're on our phone call, I just made another offer to somebody. So
I love it. I love that. That's awesome. Yeah, Larry, I was going to back up. If you've got properties to offer on, I'm assuming there was some kind of logic on why you'd wait till next Tuesday, Wednesday, but I'm saying make them. Get those offers on the table. Who else? Any other questions, updates?
Mike, it's Lee, man.
Hey, Lee, what's going on?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
You want to talk about getting licensed?
I actually, with that, the one property that I had in Arkansas, I ran into a guy off Craigslist. And I thought he was just another wholesaler, but actually this guy has properties in, I think he said, Florida. He actually stays in Denton, so I'm in Dallas, so he's about 30 minutes out from me.
Okay.
And he got rental properties in Arkansas also. So I actually got with him. So I should be moving that property that I had within the next few days. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Okay.
Got another property under contract. That same zip code. House was built in 2002. Need maybe $5,000 or $6,000.
What do you have it under contract for?
Got it under contract for 13.
13? Is it it's a little rental or a flip?
It's a little rental. Got it for 13. The rent's about $740, $750.
Okay.
It's like 1040 square feet.
Okay.
Like I said, built in 02, it's still in good shape.
Yeah, a little 3-1.
It's a 3-2.
No kidding.
Yeah, it actually is a 3-2. So.
And what are you gonna look to wholesale it for?
I'm thinking because of the area.
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna let it go for 17. Make $5,000, $5,000 or $6,000 on it. Keep it pushing.
You
I just want to get rid of it.
It doesn't need any work.
It needs about $6,000.
Okay.
I can need some siding on the outside, but as far as the inside, everything
is
intact.
This is going to be a smoking deal, and it rents for $750?
$750.
So you're gonna sell it for $17, and it needs six. So that's 23.
It needs six.
Let's call it $25,000. I mean, we just ran the numbers on Ryan's deal. They were similar. $26,000, and it rented for $650, but this one's $750.
That one's just as good, almost better.
So $750 times 70%, 5.25 times 12, 6,300 divided by 26,000. That's a 24 cap deal. You're looking to move.
And the only reason why I'm looking to move it for a $5,000 assignment fee, because the area with this zip code, the area is not the best. So depending on where at in the zip code, like you can literally go from a good neighborhood on this side of the zip code. But if you go on the other end of the side of the zip code, it's a little rough.
So which side is this on?
It's kind of like right in the middle. And actually the guy I spoke to yesterday, which has the rental properties in Arkansas and Florida and Dallas, he broke it down to me. He was saying like, yeah, you know, this side of the zip code, you know, it can be good, but on this side of the zip code, it can be bad. He said, you just have to know your areas.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you have a return, 24% return can overcome a little bit of bad, right? So here's how this works. If you're in a B neighborhood, you don't need to be selling 24 caps. You can sell 8 to 12. If you're in a C minus, maybe a D plus, neighborhood, right? F being war zone, bullets flying, don't shop there, don't go there. You have to overcome location with returns. So yeah, it's not as good a place, but this is a 24 cap deal. And that's with taking 30% off the rents. I mean, if you were gonna just run this as a gross cap rate, it would be massive. So I like where you're at. You got a good little story on this place. Hey, this is between, here's the good part of the zip code, here's the bad part of the zip code. We're in the middle, right? This is a C minus neighborhood, but that's why it's a 24% return.
And so I think mostly
I like the story behind this one. Like it.
So I'm thinking, like with me, like my thing is to just build a relationship with buyers. But that brings in my confidence. It brings my, for us like the sellers and all that, even if I don't have an acquisition person right now to reel them in, like I can reel them in myself. Like I don't have a problem.
Here's what I want you to do. You've got to go in, grab this zip code, go to GoSection8.com, punch in the zip code, click search, call every current Section 8 landlord that has a property for rent in that zip code. Tell them I've got one coming on whatever, Main Street. Here are the numbers. Are you buying? Then, if you bought the list like we instruct you to do out of list source and then map it, go right in, find out where this address is, grab every buyer in that zip code, have a VA skip trace them real quick ahead of it so you can call everyone, and then go to Craigslist, do the same thing, go to the for rent section, type in that zip code, click search, get a hold of every landlord in Craigslist that currently has a property for rent in that zip code. And say, I've got one in the same zip. Check out these numbers. Here's your price. Here's what I'm going to sell it for. And talk to those owners that already have a property right there. I mean, get really laser targeted on your buyer and say, you know, here, I'm selling it for this. It needs six. You know, $1,500 in closing costs. We'll take 30% off. Gross rents ought to be $750, and you're just telling them the story. Let's take 30% off for your operating costs. That goes to this. That's a 24 cap property. Are you interested in buying 24 cap deals, Lee? Or is that too high for you? Like, right? Say it like it's kind of a joke. Or is that too? Yeah. Are those numbers too good for you? You're more comfortable in the 14-15 range. You don't buy 24s. And just, right, deliver it kind of tongue-in-cheek, joke around about it, and find that. I mean, that's return of cash in like four – well, that's just under 25%. 25 cap would be a return of cash in 4 years. So you'll be a little over 4 year return on investment. That's crazy.
And I actually had my my boots on the ground guy, Tony, like when he actually went over to take the pictures for me. He was like, he called me back. He was like, yeah, man. He's like, say, hey, man, like he said, a house across the street. He's like, man, I'm seeing where they fixing it up. Somebody put new windows in. And I was like, hey, man, I need to find out who bought that house. I got one right across the street for him.
Hey, you tell that guy. That's right. You tell that you can do this with your bird dog or anybody that's boots on the ground. Say, go drive this neighborhood for me. And you see any kind of dumpster, any signs of construction, new paint, whatever the case. Here's the thing. If somebody's there, they got to go knock on the door. If not, you want every address that looks even remotely fixed up or get the address of the one, because you can just look up owner of record, skip trace, and then call that owner. Say, hey, you've got a property here. It looks like you put some windows into it. Did you renovate the inside? Bam, I've got one right across the street. So all you need is, if somebody's on site working, your boots on the ground's talking to them. If not, they're jotting the addresses down for you so that your VA can look up owner of record, skip trace, and get you a phone number and call that buyer.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I'm rolling, man. That's about it.
Love it.
I got I'm going to start in my other market actually tonight, you know, because I picked two markets, and I haven't done anything in my New Orleans market. I was trying to get in.
New Orleans is jumping. We have a guy, John. It's competitive down there, but John was in this group a little while back. He may actually come back and join us, but he launched New Orleans, and he heard that Rob launched Memphis and got paid on day 45. Basically 45 days after they said, let's go to Memphis. They generated leads. And so I was telling that story one night, and John goes, I'm going to launch a second market, and I'm going to beat Rob's record. I'm going to get paid inside 45 days. And he went to New Orleans, bird dog, skip trace him, called him up, deal under contract, and on day 45, he cashed a check. New Orleans. So, yeah, that's a jumping little place too. And they still rebuilding after Katrina and that whole mess, but there's a lot of activity down there.
I think the main thing is when I was actually looking into my New Orleans leads, a lot of those homeowners passed away. So by me being in Texas, I know how to work like the probates and all that. Property doesn't have to be probated in Texas for us to actually get it sold. We just got to do an affidavit of airship form. I really don't know how that works in New Orleans. So that's the only thing that kind of got me kind of
call a probate attorney down there and say, hey, I need an hour of your time, and just, you know, pay him for it. I'm telling you, Rob will go in. He'll go into a new
I can beat that 45 days, though.
I bet you can.
Now, I appreciate you telling me that. Now I'm going to try to beat that 45
That's
days.
Right. Yeah, you can tell who's competitive. Because they'll say, I'm going to do it in 44. So. Hey, what part of Dallas are you in? Are you on the Fort Worth side?
No, I'm on the Dallas side. So I'm actually right now I stay in Wiley. But, you know, my kids' schools, my mom's, you know. My family is in Dallas, so probably 30 minutes out, 40 minutes at the most, depending on if I take the toll or not.
So Paul and I, my business partner, we're launching our Real Estate From Anywhere franchise actually today. They're ready to go. We're the second one that was bought, and our territory is DFW. So I'm going to pick your brain a little bit outside of this call, but I know you've got buyers down there, and we'll go make some money together. We're working leads down there starting today.
Ooh, I got you. It's competitive, though, man. It's competitive down
there. Yeah, it is, but it is.
It's a lot of money to be made.
We know how to find. Yeah, we know how to find leads. So I want to get a locals. I want to get your insight. I'll maybe give you a buzz tomorrow if you got a couple minutes.
Okay.
Cool.
That'll work.
Cool. Who else? Lee, was it you asking me about getting licensed as an agent?
No, that was me, Mike. I was just about to say something about that.
Oh, okay.
That was me, Ryan.
Okay, I couldn't remember who had sent it in. So, yeah, Ryan, fired in a question and said, "Hey, what is your opinion on getting licensed as a real estate agent?" And I came back not strong or rude or anything, but said, "Not a chance. Never, ever, ever going to happen." And I'll tell you a story about it. And Rob feels the same way, right? And so Rob had a business partner years ago on a real estate venture, but years back, named Wayne, and they were both wholesalers, investors, doing some flips, that kind of thing. And Wayne said, "I think it makes sense that I get my license." So he gets licensed. He comes across a deal, talking to a lady, and he said, "Hey, you know what? If I could pay you, you know, cash, close in the next couple of weeks, pay all your closing costs, what would you sell me the house for?" And she goes, she wanted like $7,000 for it or something. And it was a smoking little deal in Denver. He wholesaled it for he made $80,000. Well, the real estate commission got hold of this and it was just all up in his business because, real estate agents get paid 2.8% for moving deals, not $80,000 on a $90,000 $110,000 transaction. And they were just all over him to the point that he ended that whole thing saying, "You know what, if that's the way this is going to work, I don't need this license and don't want it," and let it go. And so I was telling Ryan, you know, we feel like our opinion anyway is that we can do everything we need to do anyway. So why would we have the real estate commission breathing down our necks, you know, watching what we do and saying, "Hey, we agree with this, we don't agree with this," when we can just buy as owners, we can just freely buy and sell without any of that. And so that's one specific reason. And it just, you know, I don't feel like going through the continuing ed and paying for it and this, that, and the other, and all that other stuff that comes with it. But yeah, basically the answer was, not a chance and never, never going to happen where we get licensed. So, but great. It's a great question. Cause I know some investors who have, and they say, "Hey, I'm going to go get licensed and here's how this is going to work." You know, there's a couple in town that they went through Rob's coaching program years ago. Husband and wife team. He's an architect and she got licensed. And now she jumps into the MLS every morning because that's where they're still finding their deals in Denver, making a ton of offers, getting very few deals. And then they, you know, they have to disclose, "We're the owner. I'm also licensed," this, that, and the other. And they, you know, they think it's working out good. We're under the opinion that never, ever. So not to say that there is a right or wrong. I know people have made it work, but here's the thing about this couple in Denver. They are not wholesaling. They are buying, renovating, and selling, and they can prove, you know, if anybody says, "Well, how can, you know, you just bought this thing 3 months ago for $350,000. How can you justify $600,000? And they say, "Well, look at this laundry list of things we did to it."
Right.
So different game, but yeah, we, no need for it. We can still, you know, we can still just buy and sell. And we feel like our opinion that we're better off not being licensed. That's our opinion on the matter. People would disagree with us, but that's our stance. So, it's a great question though, because I think a lot of investors at some point at least consider it. You know, what if I just went and got licensed? Who else? Any other questions that we're missing? All right. Looks like we got everybody covered. Hey, a lot of, you know, as always, a lot of good stuff happening, everybody. So, you know, I love the topics that we talk about in here. Of course, we're going to tackle the how-tos, but we're also going to talk about the business stuff and, you know, some of the challenges that come with it. You know, at the end of the day, it's just good old-fashioned hustle. That's it. That's what pays off. Just get after it. Keep generating leads. Keep calling sellers. Keep making offers. Keep meeting buyers. And over time, those consistent activities just start to compound, and the business does and should get a little bit easier than when you're just trying to get it moving. I know Brad and Rob in Memphis, when the operation's up and running, they don't have to work too hard to get deals sold, right? They've got 20 buyers that are always looking. You know, their dispositions person is moving things typically within 24 hours from, you know, contract to buyer and earnest money. You know, it doesn't always happen that way, but, you know, they get them moved pretty quick. So stay with it. The big three, right? Generate leads, make offers, talk to buyers. We stay focused on those, and good things will happen. So any questions, obviously get them into the coaching email. So, yeah, have a great Friday, unless we chat tomorrow. Have a good weekend. Be back on Monday. Sound good?
Great.
All right, everybody. Yeah, great call. All thanks right. for checking in. Chat soon.
All right. Good night.
Take care.
Thanks, Mike.
Yep, see ya.
Good night.